Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
More than a million pending deportation and asylum cases are slowing down the country's immigration courts, with an average wait time of almost 2 years per open case. Some immigration judges are under such enormous strain that they're calling for an independent court separate from the Department of Justice. They believe it will reduce the backlog and protect judges from political influence. Ashley Tabador is an immigration judge and president of the nonpartisan National Association of Immigration Judges. She joins us from D.C. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Judge, you've been an immigration judge for 15 years, and you argue that under former President Barack Obama and at least the last 3 years under Trump, the role of immigration judges has changed significantly. Can you tell us how?
I think a lot of people don't fully appreciate that when we speak of immigration court or immigration judges, that some of the fundamental characteristics of a court and a judge are missing in our system. And that is the fact that immigration courts are situated in the Justice Department, led by the U.S. Attorney General, who is our chief federal prosecutor. So we are in that anomaly where we are a court system run by a prosecutor. And that has presented significant problems about the court throughout its existence, but no more than we have seen in the last few years between the pendulum swings of the two administrations, taking the court one way under one administration and 180 degrees the other way under another administration, which has really highlighted the importance of needing to remove the court from the Justice Department.
Can you explain more on that? I see here that is a big part of your argument, that you're asking that the immigration court leave the purview of the Department of Justice. You believe the DOJ and Homeland Security are in lockstep. Can you say more?
Yes. I mean, the Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security work together on a daily basis, and they're both within the executive branch accountable to the president. And so what I try to do is to explain to people, imagine coming into court and your life depends on it. And you find out that the judge was hired by the prosecutor, that the judge is accountable to the prosecutor, that the prosecutor can step in any time and remove the judge, and that the prosecutor can come in and rewrite or overrule the judge at any point. So at that point, I hope that people realize that, wait, this is not the American judicial system that we have come to expect. These are not the principles upon which our country was founded. And unfortunately, for the immigration court system, this is exactly what we're dealing with. We are a court system that's run by a prosecutor that is working lock and step with the Department of Homeland Security, who are the attorneys coming before the court. So in every which way, we have been used as an extension of law enforcement policies of the administration in charge. So last administration, it was focusing on certain priorities and pulling the court in that direction. And this administration, it's been focusing on the opposite priorities and pulling the court in the opposite direction. And that's not how a court should be run. We shouldn't be run as if we are an extension of policies. It should be a court of law based on the evidence of the case and the law of the case.
Can you also talk a little bit about the burden of the caseload? We're hearing that there are more than a million cases currently waiting to be heard by immigration courts across the country. You've heard from a lot of judges, including those who have chosen to leave their posts over the last few years. Why are they leaving? What are you hearing?
Just 3 years ago, we had a little bit over 600,000 pending caseload, which was already a tremendous amount of backlog. There was a lot of money that was appropriated to the department with a mandate to hire more judges and work through the backlog.
And you're talking specifically about the Trump's imposed quota mandating that judges clear at least 700 cases a year.
That's right. So one of the policies that they've implemented, it are quotas and deadlines on judges under the guise of combating the backlog. One of the major contributors to the backlog is, again, the constant use of the court as an extension of law enforcement priorities, the constant shuffling of our dockets for purposes of political messaging, the constant micromanaging of the judges' dockets, which creates artificial hearings, artificial double booking, the constant pressure on judges to speed up and focus on speed over substance, which, again, contributes to the backlog because these cases end up being litigated much more fiercely and end up coming back oftentimes after the case have gone through the appellate process.
I'd like to ask you, though, the director of immigration courts, James McHenry, told the Senate Homeland Security Committee back in November that these changes to the courts, including the quotas that you're talking about, are actually helping the system address the backlog, and that judges need to rise to this occasion. What do you say to this? The argument is that this is actually helping in the backlog versus hindering.
I think what people don't fully appreciate is that what the department has done is front-loaded a certain types of cases on our docket. So they are now putting a large number of cases on what are called master calendar hearings and counting on a large percentage of people not showing up for court. So the statistics that are being cited as, oh, look, these are much higher completions, is frankly because a larger portion of the individuals are not showing up to court. And then on top of that, the demographics of the individuals coming before the court have changed. We used to have mostly individual males that were put into proceedings. We now have families who are put into proceedings and unaccompanied children. So a case that a judge would hear would before relate to one person. But now if a group, if a case doesn't show up, you complete essentially two, three or four cases at that point. Hmm. So this is not a reflection of a better system or a more effective system. It's just a reflection of a system that's imploding on the weight that the administration has put on it.
Can you give us a sense of what your courtroom looks like, what you see on a daily basis?
So similar to my colleagues, my courtroom requires me to be in it morning and afternoon. We have some colleagues who come into court and they would have 100 cases scheduled for them for a four-hour session. So it's not unusual for myself or some of my colleagues to, frankly, be coming in early in the morning to try to prepare for the cases, stay late to try to wrap up cases, a lot of times working straight through lunch. And the administration and the agency has taken away even the limited administrative time that a lot of the judges used to have, maybe a few hours. And that is unfortunately how it's been mandated, both in the past and has just become worse in the present.
We're seeing that in 2019, 45 judges left their jobs. Many of them also passed away or retired, but that's up nearly 50% than in the previous 2 years. Do you feel like this is a direct reflection of the caseload and the workload that you all are now seeing?
Oh, absolutely. It's not just what I feel. It's what I've been told by the judges who leave. Many of them don't want to bring publicity to themselves, so you don't hear their stories firsthand. But when I speak to them and I ask, well, why are they leaving? They are leaving because they just believe that this is an unsustainable system. They believe that what's being asked of them is indefensible. And over again, we are seeing that people are just leaving, saying, I'm going to basically vote with my feet.
You're in Washington, D.C. right now, as I mentioned. You're pushing for the immigration courts to leave the purview of the Department of Justice. What else are you asking for?
Well, as we've highlighted, that if we don't come up with a lasting solution, the pendulum swings that we have seen are going to continue. And with each pendulum swing, we see more and more backlog. We see greater and greater dysfunction. So we hope that with the hearing that was had last week before the House, that members of Congress recognize this really needs an immediate action. We are past, frankly, we are past any sort of continued Band-Aid solutions. They have tried every solution that there is. Every administration has been given the benefit of the doubt. They have thrown good money after bad money. There isn't a solution that hasn't been tried through the political Department of Justice process. It's when we step up and say we need to create a real court, give it real independence, run it as a court, administer it as a court, is when you're going to actually see an orderly, fair process be honored through our system.
That's Judge Ashley Tabador, immigration judge and president of the National Association of Immigration Judges. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.